407, 52 degrees. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, hour number two on 590 WKZO as we continue ahead here. And along with me, the wonder producer himself is in the building.
Michael Loudon.
Did I tell you to say your name? Now, come on.
Well, there was a pause there. I thought I would say it right then.
I was gathering my thoughts, so I guess you're jumping in there, but whatever. You know, if you want to continue to be a wonder producer, you have to anticipate that the gap is me thinking. So.
Okay. I'll remember that next time.
So you just have to wait for me to point at you. You know, that's...
Just give me the signal.
And I didn't give you one then, so here you are talking again. So anyway, Michael's here, and we're enjoying some time with you. We talked Obamacare last hour, and this hour talking about a little something interesting. This was brought up on in CNN. David Frum brought this up in and among their website, talking about, and they brought this up how many times when someone is considering running for the White House. How old will they be? What age will they be when they're inaugurated into office? And, I mean, think about this. You know, when John McCain ran, he'll be the oldest president in history. You know, even older than Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember when Bob Dole ran? You probably don't remember when Bob Dole ran, but
people. Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay, you were a lot younger.
Yes, I was a lot younger.
But when Bob Dole ran, there was that, he's going to be so old, you know, that, I mean, he was, what was it, 1996, Bob Dole was 73 years old. And making the comparison, Ronald Reagan was 73 in 1984. And they made a big deal out of age in that campaign, which I think Ronald Reagan, we all remember how well he deftly just put that off. When they brought up age being an issue in the campaign, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to exploit for my political gain my opponent's youth and inexperience, which was perfect. I mean, you know, everybody laughed and we moved on. But the one thing that has been brought up is what age Hillary Clinton is going to be. And that's the thing. If it's brought up so many times with certain candidates, you would think, okay, it's good for anybody. But people that are supporting her and supporting her running for the office are saying, oh, don't talk about that. Don't talk about her age. That's just insulting. She'll be 69 if elected in 2016, 69 years of age. And people are saying, well, okay, is this an issue or not? And I think if you're talking about this from the standpoint of John McCain, or you're talking about it from the standpoint of Bob Dole, why not talk about it from her standpoint? And, you know, I think there's put it this way, I don't know that age necessarily is that line that says, all right, here's somebody that is qualified or isn't qualified. Now, granted, if somebody's like 84 and they're running for the presidency, yeah, there might be something there. But if somebody's 69, you know, there are some there are people that are 69 that just flat out don't know what's going on. And there are people that are 69 that, quite frankly, do know what's going on.
Yeah, and they're sharp as a pencil.
There you go. So, you know, is that a question that's worth talking about? I think it's worth talking about. I don't think it's something that you need to be insulted about if it's going to be brought up. Because it will be brought up. And let's face it, the media has not exactly been good to female candidates for the highest office. I mean, Hillary, she got an awful lot of media scrutiny this last time when she ran back, what was it, 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happened to Sarah Palin when she was running for vice president. She was John McCain's choice, and oh, dear, she's wearing expensive outfits. Oh, dear. Who's done her makeup now? Who's done her? Who cares? But it's something that gets brought up, and it's almost like there's this double standard now that, okay, well, you know, you could talk about this, but who's going to talk about, all right, did you see that suit that Obama was wearing? No one cares.
Yeah.
You know, and I certainly don't care. But here's the thing. People care about age. It's an issue. and people have talked about it on both sides. So why is it such an issue to bring it up now when talking about Hillary Clinton? I think it's worth talking about. Now, I will tell you, I don't think it's that big a deal, particularly when you look at 69 years old. Okay, that's not that old.
No.
And I'm not going to necessarily say I support Hillary Clinton, but I think you look at her when she comes to the fore and decides, yes, I'm running, or no, I'm not. And when she decides, no, I'm not, okay, well, Democrats figure out who is going to run. But if she comes to the fore and decides she's going to run, then you start looking at her views on things. Then you start looking at, all right, what is her view on abortion? What is her view on the economy? What's her view on government and how it plays a role in our lives? These are the things that you decide on. These are the things that I think are important to you when you start looking at that. Is age important? To a certain degree. To a certain degree. I think, look back, you say Ronald Reagan, when he was in office, well, I think he was sharp as a tack for quite a few years. Who knows when the Alzheimer's hit exactly? I mean, he did announce that this was probably, I don't know, 5-6 years after he was out of the White House. So it could have hit after that, could have hit at the tail end. We just don't know. You know, and to bring it up with Bob Dole, I mean, Bob Dole was pretty darn sprightly when he was running for the White House. You know, they kept showing, oh, he's such an old guy. But he really was probably one of the more robust guys for his age to run for the White House. I think he'd have been okay. Now, you know, granted, looking back, he was not going to beat Bill Clinton. We all knew that. But they brought it up. Well, this could be an issue. This age thing could be an issue. And it was something that was brought up by candidate Barack Obama when he was running against McCain, the whole idea of age. So I don't know. I tend to think, yeah, it's worth talking about, but I don't know that it is that final thing. Now, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because maybe you feel like, you know what, age should be an issue. If age is part of what we look at from the constitutional perspective, you have to be at least 35 years old to even run for president, should there be kind of that northerly age, if you will, that the cutoff where we say, okay, well, you know what, after 75, after 80, after 70, shouldn't be considered? Well, I think a lot of people in the media will look at that, but what do you think? I'd like to get your thoughts. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And 803-73 is how you can text us with your comments as well. We share some of those comments, as you know, throughout the course of the program. But what do you think about this? Do you think that, because I think, you know, when it comes down to it, what's good for one candidate is good for another, if we're going to talk about it. But ultimately, it should be about, you know, how well they've stood up over the years as well. You know, you look at Hillary Clinton, yeah, I mean, she's had some issues that have come with her age, but I don't know. I don't know that she is not robust enough for the office at this point. I would say maybe she is. But ultimately, it's got to be about the ideas that a person has. That's just my two cents worth. But let's find out what Gary has to say. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I'd like to remind you that Hillary's a baby boomer, and the baby boomers are all around her age, a little older, a little younger. Mm-hmm. So they're probably not going to see her as too old. They're going to see her as a contemporary. And you know, she's not too much older than me, and I don't consider that I've declined in any way, and I'm sure the that might help her, though I think people would probably vote by their interest and their political preference. And Ronald Reagan, you said he was, 73 when he ran in 84?
Yeah, 73 when he ran for his second term. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then so he got up to 77. I guess that's where Hillary would end up. But I don't think people perceive Hillary as too old. Sometimes you know, we think she should change her hairstyle, I guess, because sometimes it doesn't look too good. But, maybe makes her look a little older than she is. But
well, some people tell me I should change my hairstyle, but I'm kind of out of choices at this point. So,
so you might be like me, not a lot up on top, is that it?
Nothing on top, put it that way.
He's got no hairstyle to change.
Well, that's in these days. A lot of these young fellas have that look. So
there
maybe
you go.
Maybe you're looking younger.
That could
so
be.
I think you're right. We should look at issues. I don't know that we really do. I think we pretty much vote, you know, the way we always vote. Some people are swing voters, I guess. But
well, and I think that the one thing that's missing, and you brought up a good point, too, that, you know, baby boomers are going to look at her a totally different way. But I think the other part of this is, you know, you've got some of these young voters that President Obama put together and his coalition that elected him. Will they turn around, look at Hillary and say, well, you know what? I like her, too. I mean, you know, will her age be a detriment for that particular voting bloc?
Well, I don't think so. I think that the Obama supporters were going to vote for Hillary if Obama hadn't gone. Gone and ran. I think Hillary would have won if Barack Obama had not showed up, because that's a different time. I mean, I don't think a Republican could have won the 2008 election with all the bad events that had been occurring. But
there was a lot of anti-Bush sentiment at that point. So, you know, I think there's some truth to what you say there.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I think she'll get all the traditional Democratic votes. I mean, the African Americans are going to vote for her. The Latinos will vote for her. Women will still, you know, majority vote for her. And you know, I guess matter maybe of you know, energizing the base. She might not be able to do that. But you know, the presidential national elections are really stacked for the Democrats for a while. And, you know, there's too many minority groups that overwhelmingly support her position. So it'll be tough to beat her if she runs.
Okay. Well, Gary, I appreciate your phone call today. Thanks.
Okay.
You know, he brought up an interesting point there, and there are still an awful lot of baby boomers out there voting.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's one of their own, a contemporary, no, she's one of us. That's okay. That's okay. We can do this. 69 is not that old. And they'll look at it and go, if they're not insulted to death that you've asked a woman what age she is, and don't you dare do that. I've tried. But, you know, if they're not insulted to death, they'll look at it and go, well, you know what? Ronald Reagan was that age. Yeah, Ronald Reagan was that age. We didn't like him, but he was that age. You know, he served as president, you know.
So, yeah, why not Hillary then?
You know, and it's an interesting question. Now, the other thing that that our caller just brought up was the idea that, you know, there's a lot of different groups that will just absolutely support Hillary 100%. I'm not so sure. And part of the reasoning, I think, is a lot of it depends on who you've got on the other side running. And I think you're going to see a wide open field. I mean, there's been an awful lot of people. Oh, it's Chris Christie. It's who it's going to be. That's it. You know, and okay, yeah, he's basically a white guy, which, you know, they'll say, well, that's a disadvantage. Well, okay, but what about some other candidates that are out there? I mean, they've tried to demonize Ted Cruz, but he's got, you know, certain background. You've got Marco Rubio has got another background. You've got different people on that side with various background. You know, people have brought up Sarah Palin, and I don't think she's ever going to be able to seriously run, but people have brought her up as a possibility to say, well, what about this? Other people have said, what about Condi Rice? Which would totally, I think, do away with the whole advantage of, well, we got a woman running on this side. Well, if you got somebody like Condi Rice, then you've got, I think, a debate on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
You've got something where you can go, okay, let's get all this stuff. And it goes back, and we were talking a little bit about affirmative action yesterday, and that's come up in the news today. The bottom line is, if we're in a time of where we're past race, we're past what sex somebody is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then shouldn't we get past this stuff and just decide we're going to have a debate on the issues? We're going to find out what this person stands for and what that person stands for. We're going to have this little however long rumble, and at the end of the day, when we've all voted and we've all decided, this is the person that gets to be president, and we move on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't seem to be the way that it's gone. It's been more about, oh, look at this person. Oh, they're young, they're hip, they're this, they're that. Well, if they're young, they're hip, they're this, they're that, and they've got bad ideas, guess what?
Don't vote for them.
There you go. And, you know, the whole thing that I've thought all along is let's be informed about it so that, you know, to me, I don't care if Hillary is 69 when she gets in there. What I care about is where does she stand on issues of the day? Where does she stand in terms of, you know, American prosperity and American influence overseas? Where does she stand with the government and how it influences our lives or lack of same? Where does she stand on the abortion issue? Where does she stand on, I mean, fill in the blank, whatever issue it is that you care about, where does she stand on that? And do you agree with her or not? And that's the bottom line. And, you know, will she or won't she run? There's been a lot of thought back and forth. I think if she really kind of gets to that point where she feels like, yeah, she's going to do this. But, you know, and they talked about this, I think it was like 5-6 years ago. Well, if Obama gets elected and then gets reelected, you know, then she's going to be this when 2016 rolls around. And that's old. Well, I think she's getting to 2016 here in a couple of years and going, that's not so old. So that's going to work into it, too. But we'll see. We definitely want to continue the discussion with you. We brought up affirmative action. The Supreme Court sounded off on it and sounded off in favor of those that said it shouldn't be an issue. We'll talk about that a little bit with you. Take your phone calls and your texts on that as we continue ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Continuing ahead here, Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. Wanted to spend a little time, and we will be spending a little time talking about the affirmative action decision because the Supreme Court made a ruling today. This was in reference to, this was the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, banned the use of racial preferences or affirmative action programs in government hiring or public university admissions. The Supreme Court ruling that this does not violate the 14th Amendment. We want to dig into this a little bit and dig through some of this because this all hinged on Proposal 2 from 2006, which that year had passed 58-42%. We definitely wanted to talk about that and take your opinion on it as well. One thing we wanted to do as we head for our news break, we want to give away some tickets here. We got some movie tickets for you. The Other Woman, Celebration Cinema in Portage. You got to call 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 and answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael has ready for us.
Yes, and in honor of Earth Day, it's Earth Day related. In what year was the first Earth Day celebrated?
In what year the first Earth Day was celebrated? There you go. Okay, so head for your computer to look it up if you don't know. And if you do know, head for your phone, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And let us know. You'll be able to win those two tickets to see The Other Woman's coming out this Friday. It's going to be at Celebration Cinema in Portage. You'll have two tickets to go see it before anybody else does. Okay, before several other people do anyway. We'll get you a winner, and we'll let you know what the answer to that question is as we continue on. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. For 39, 51 degrees in Kalamazoo, it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Now, when we went to the news just before that, we had occasion to give you some movie tickets. And many people were calling in. The phones were loaded with people that seemed to think they knew when the first Earth Day was celebrated.
Yes.
So, now, I think I know, but I'm not entirely certain. So I'm just going to defer to you on this one so you can tell me what the answer was to your dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia.
Okay. The year that the first Earth Day was celebrated was 1970.
See, I was going to say 72. So I still wouldn't have won.
Close, but no cigars.
Yes.
Close only counts in horseshoes.
And hand grenades.
And hand grenades,
yes. I've heard that. But all right, so 1970, and who was it that came up with that answer?
Derek Hall from Constantine.
All right, so Derek gets to go see this movie. I don't know, Derek, you got a date for this thing? Because we got two tickets to it. So it's The Other Woman. It's at Celebration Cinema. And you'll be able to have some fun checking that out. It's a great place to see a movie and, of course, great food. Great, yeah, I mean, you've heard me talk about it. It's great.
Great everything.
Everything is great there. It's just beautiful. It's wonderful. So even the movies are fantastic. So I won't guarantee that you'll love it. It's just, you know, people have different opinions. But I think this is going to be a good one, definitely. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit with you about one of the things that went before and the Supreme Court. And this was came out today as the Supreme Court made a ruling on the Civil Rights Initiative. This was Proposal 2 from 2006, passed in the election 58% to 42%, and allowed Michigan voters to resolve the debate about racial preferences. That is according to Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote that in his opinion today. Now, the initiative had banned the use of racial preference or affirmative action programs in government hiring or public university admissions. This was challenged in court. By a group of, what was it, BAMN. I know that stands for something there. It was, had it in front of me a second ago and it just left me. We'll find that. But anyway, this particular group challenged the state of Michigan on that. It was first fought for in court by then Attorney General Mike Cox. Attorney General Bill Schuette took up the fight as he got into office as well. Well, it was a 6-2 decision before the Supreme Court. You say, well, wait a minute, there's nine justices. What happened? Well, Elena Kagan did not participate in this particular decision. I don't have here why. She just did not participate. On the side that sided with the state of Michigan was Justice Anthony Kennedy, also Chief Justice John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Justice Scalia, Thomas, Justice Breyer was in on that as well, all concurred on their opinion, saying that this does not violate the 14th Amendment to do this. This is not equal protection. And on the other side of it, Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So those two were against that. Justice Sotomayor wrote in her dissent, "Today's decision eviscerates an important strand of our equal protection jurisprudence for those marginalized groups that have historically relied on the courts to protect their constitutional rights. The decision can hardly bolster hope for a vision of democracy that preserves for all the right to participate meaningfully and equally in self-government." Now, Jennifer Gratz, she's CEO of 14 Foundation. She spearheaded the voter initiative and said, "Today's decision continues 15 years of progress made in challenging discriminatory policies based on race preference and moves the country closer to a colorblind government." So for those that supported Proposal 2, which passed in 2006, 58-42, much celebration today. And certainly people that are not for affirmative action, because, you know, affirmative action, it sounds good, this idea, well, we're going to help these people out that need our help because they otherwise would not be considered. They wouldn't have the background to be considered for whether it's college admission or this job or that job. But here's the thing, and we talked about it yesterday. It's the idea that, you know what? We need to be considered equally no matter what. And to be able to say, all right, we're going to consider this group preferential treatment over that group because before they weren't considered for that. So it's sort of that, I mean, it puts it into the realm of we're going to discriminate against this other group so you know how it feels. And that's not right. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't right any wrongs that took place. All that does is favor one group over another. And if we truly should be a colorblind society, it shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no reason that anybody could give me that would say, you know what? Affirmative action's the way to go. You know, I think instead we need to be at a point where we go, we're beyond that. We're going to consider someone based on their talents and abilities for a job, or in terms of college admission, we're going to consider them based on what's in the application, what's in the essay that they wrote. And, you know, some colleges do that, some don't. What's in their transcripts? What kind of student were they? What kind of student would they be? What would they bring to the university? That's the kind of thing, not what color are they so that we can hit this particular quota. Because quotas shouldn't have anything to do with it. If we are truly a nation of Americans, and I say that, and I believe that wholeheartedly, because I don't believe that anyone of any color is less an American or more an American than what I am. We are all Americans. We're not. That's why I really hate it when anybody on one of those forums says, all right, what race are you? Why does it matter? Why should it matter? And I think this is one of those things where the wisdom of the voters is being looked at and being said, okay, that's right. People have expressed their opinion. That's the way that it is. And that's where I think the court acted with great wisdom today on this, to be able to say, nope, this is what people want. It's not discriminatory to say we're going to treat everyone equally. And so they get treated equally. I mean, that, to me, really espouses the whole equal protection under the law. And if you're going to appeal to this idea that, okay, well, the 14th Amendment was violated by this whole thing of not allowing affirmative action. No. The 14th Amendment is affirmed by that. Because then you're not considering someone based on what color they are, what sex they are, what this, that, or the other. You're going to consider them based on what qualifications they bring to the table, not what they were born with one way or another. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily help the race you are. And so I feel like this is something where the court has ruled with great wisdom. And I think that we saw that in the ruling. The only thing that really bothered me, and I shared it with you earlier, Justice Sotomayor had her dissent talking about how this, you know, for marginalized groups. Point out to me a marginalized group in today's society. Point out to me, I mean, you know, I'll give it to you. In the 60s, there was the whole thing between races and, okay, there you go, for then. But for now? Is that the same? No, absolutely not.
It shouldn't even be an issue.
And it really shouldn't be. And for some people, race is an issue and always will be. That's just the way that they are, the way that they have wired themselves up, the way they were taught. Fortunately, I think as we've moved along in our society, we've gotten to a point where we've said, you know what? It doesn't matter what race you are. You know, I know with my kids, that's how I've raised them. It's like, look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color somebody is. What matters is what kind of person are they? You know, the whole content of your character thing that Dr. King talked about. And that's the truth. And it should be in this kind of a situation. I think we should all be happy that something like this has come out of the Supreme Court, because I think it absolutely was the right decision. Now, if you differ with that, feel free to give me a call. Tell me why you differ with it. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. Who knows? Maybe you'll change my mind. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373. You can text us as well as we continue on. Jeremy Lawrence on 590 WKZO. Thursday.
unbelievable.
.455, it's 50 degrees. Looks like the winds have died down a little bit. That's good news, definitely. And Jeremy Lawrence here with you in the closing moments of our program. Of course, talking about the Supreme Court decision and some other things that have come out. Just a couple of short pieces to share with you. Of course, you heard about the interesting happenings at Ford. Alan Mulally has decided that he's going to step aside as CEO. And, you know, he's a guy that I think he really just kind of has earned a good retirement, I believe. Because, you know, and this is not because I'm a Ford guy, because I'm really not. I've driven Ford, I've driven GM, I've driven foreign cars, I've driven a Chrysler. So I'm really on all of these. But I feel like, you know, here's a guy that took Ford through all the rough waters. You know, when Chrysler and GM were having problems, Ford just said, all right, we're going to go it alone. We're going to get this done. And they did.
They definitely did.
And so I think, you know, for him to be able to say, all right, we're done, and they're bringing on the next guy and the whole bit, I think, you know, you just kind of give a little tip of the hat to the guy, because I think, you know, he took Ford through some things, and Ford is one of those. I mean, I desperately want to go buy a car from Ford now because, you know, they're doing so well.
Are you going to buy the new Mustang?
Tempting. Very, very tempting. You know, I'm a Mustang guy myself, so, and I've not actually owned one before.
Well, if you buy it, can I take it for a test drive?
No.
Dang it.
I'll give you a ride to Subway, which is, of course, three doors down.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I just like the story that you get out of Ford, because they said, all right, it's rough waters ahead. We know there's going to be trouble. We're going to see this through. And they saw it through as a company. You didn't see them jumping up and saying, we need help, we need help. They were at the start of the process, they were there, but they finally just walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Said, all right, we don't need this. We don't need it. We're done, you know. So definitely a tip of the hat there. Also, an interesting announcement has come out. Of course, Bill Schuette coming out endorsing Lieutenant Governor and marathon runner Brian Calley. So, and it really was not a big surprise to say, hey, I'm going to endorse the lieutenant governor. But the other thing that was a part of this is Brian Calley was going to face potential primary challengers for that spot. And his two challengers were unable to get the needed signatures to make the ballot at the convention for the Republican Party. So one of them, Wes Nakagiri, is looking at possibly getting on here a second avenue by trying to collect signatures from 21 state committee members from seven different congressional districts. And he's supposed to do that by the end of July, basically. Either that, or they could suspend party rules by getting two-thirds support from delegates. That might be a tall order as well. So, and I think, you know, with this, both of these, one of them was Wes Nakagiri, as we said, Todd Courser, who has since decided he's going to run for a state office rather than lieutenant governor. I think with both of these guys, you know, it's a time where you go, okay, you've put in your challenge and you couldn't get there. It's a time, I think, to be able to step aside and say, all right, you know what? We're going to get behind this guy, because it doesn't help to have party disunity as you head into an election. And really, for lieutenant governor, I mean, looking at Brian Calley, he's basically done what you need to do as a lieutenant governor, basically going, standing behind Rick Snyder going, that's my guy right there. That's, I agree, and I'm with him 100%. I still wanted to find out a little more about the guy. I know he's a marathon runner now. You know, he ran in the Boston Marathon yesterday.
And he's probably having a tough day recovering.
I would bet. I mean, if I were him, I think I'd be taking the day off somewhere, probably somewhere still in the Boston area.
Let's hope he did.
I'm hoping. I know he talked with Michael Patrick Shields this morning and talked a little bit about that. Beyond that, I don't know how packed his day was. So.
I don't know. Have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Hopefully that was it. Watch some TV.
There you
just
go.
Just chill and relax.
You know, chill with the Netflix. That's yes. Probably the best way to do it. Going to do it for the program today. You know what? We're going to be back at it tomorrow. Why don't you join us 3 to 5 tomorrow? Jeremy Lawrence right here on 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.